Harvest podcasts featuring Pastor Greg Laurie are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive Pastor Greg's free online daily devotions or to become a Harvest partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, how your truth shines into our hearts. Father, we thank you that your word is eternal. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Lord, we thank you that your truths are unchanging and they are full of life. And so, Father, speak to us now as we look into your word, and truly our hearts cry out for you to be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I remember a song that we used to sing when I was in elementary school, and maybe some of you might remember it as well. And I don't know that we sing that song much anymore, but it went something like this. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. We are a nation that prides ourselves in our freedom. Wouldn't you agree with that? Men and women over the past centuries have fought hard and fatal battles for the freedoms that you and I enjoy. Even sitting here in this church this morning is because it was a long, hard fight to give us this opportunity to meet in churches, to read the Word of God, and to not have our lives threatened for it as a result. People from other countries have been freed from the tyranny of communism, and now because of that, their lives are totally different from the lives that their ancestors knew. The women's suffrage movement fought a hard battle to secure the rights for women to be able to vote and to be treated equally and to be paid on the same scale and opportunity as men. And then there's the Declaration of Independence. It states the fundamental beliefs for our country that all men are to be treated equally and to have the same rights to prosperity. And then there was a man whose name was William Wilberforce. And he dedicated his life to the abolition of slavery. He fought a 20-year battle to free black men, women, and families from the oppression of the hands of their slave masters. As we look back over the past, and we read histories of men and women like these, we as a nation can be thankful that we live in a world that enjoys such freedom and how our lives have changed today as a result. However, if we take a closer look and we understand the times and the culture that we live in, we honestly have to say, something has gone terribly wrong. It seems that the times in which we are living are giving us indicators. The alarms are going off all around us. All the freedoms that we have fought and won, mankind without Jesus Christ is not free at all. Let's listen to the words in John chapter 8. And let's look at verse 36. Jesus said, "So, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." I love how these verses are sandwiched right in between almost the middle of this chapter, give or take a few verses. But I think it's significant where they are placed in light of what we learned happened prior and in light of what we saw happening at the end of the chapter. The chapter opens with a woman being caught in the act of adultery. And the chapter closes with those who wanted to stone Jesus. And yet these words come alive to us right in the middle of the chapter. And their significance is what I want to focus on this morning. We see Jesus once again locked in the confrontation with the religious leaders. We've seen this in prior chapters, haven't we? Did they ever really want to know the truth? No. They wanted to argue, they wanted to debate, and they wanted to press hard and fast on their philosophy and how they wanted to interpret Scripture. But they never really did want to know the truth. And as Jesus brought them to the boiling point, he carried the argument even further. He goes so far to suggest that these religious men were in bondage. And so typical of these religious leaders, they missed the point completely. It went right over their heads. Jesus was speaking on a spiritual level, but they were hearing it with deaf ears. Their response was, "We are Abraham's offspring. We have never been enslaved to anyone." How could Jesus dare make a statement like that when they went back to their lineage in Father Abraham, the man who pleased God, the man who was a friend of God? Not only did the Jews misunderstand Jesus, but they were deceiving themselves because they were in bondage. If you look back over the history of the Jews, they were enslaved in Egypt, in Babylon, by the Philistines, by the Greeks, and at this present time, by the Romans. But Jesus was talking about a different kind of slavery, wasn't he? He was talking about spiritual slavery. And only the I Am of eternity could have seen beneath the surface and penetrated the hearts to their true enslavement. The Jews did not recognize, and they did not understand the words of Christ. They denied it emphatically. Their condition was something that was so obvious to the Son of God, but to them, they were completely blinded. People today don't accept the truth about their condition, do they? The more enslaved we become, the more we want to talk about how free we are. I can think of no better example than those in Hollywood. Those on the TV screen, those in the movie cinemas, those who are all over the tabloids that we see every time we go to the grocery store, these men and women who are pulling down mega millions for their films and for their programs, and yet you look and you see how enslaved they are to their addictions, to their lifestyle, to their own personal beliefs. And many of them will invest their times in wonderful humanitarian causes, and yet, because they are living a life outside of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they are bound. John Calvin wrote, "The greater the mass of vices anyone is buried under, the more fiercely do we proclaim our free will." I can think of no more current example than Proposition 8. And yet the deception of this bill disguises itself in the name of freedom and equality. When you try to expose man's bondage, they will look you straight in the eye and they will say that you are in bondage by your repressive beliefs. Have you ever had that conversation? I have. The voice of tolerance and giving others the freedom to choose a system of beliefs that's right for them is in the atmosphere that we breathe. The moment we step out our front door, we are locked in the battle of those who are under the deception that they are free, when in fact, they're not. In reality, ladies, if we're honest, we have to see that we are engaged in the greatest period of enslavement than perhaps as never before. When men and women are in bondage, they excel at minimizing their enslavement. You might hear them say, I've got this under control. I can quit this anytime that I like. Well, this is just a choice. This is how I choose to live my life. We've all heard statements like that. But we not only see enslavement to sins, but we also see enslavements to ideas and philosophies that profess to have the truth. But it's based on the truth of what that individual says is true for them. And it excludes the Word of God. I was watching a TV program last weekend, and there was this motivational speaker on, and she was 82 years old. And women were gathered in this convention center to come to hear her speak. And her philosophy in life was that she goes by her inner ding. Yes, I said that, D-I-N-G. She goes by her inner ding. When her inner ding says that something is right, that's what she believes is right. And when her inner ding says that something is wrong, that's when she knows it's wrong. And when the camera panned over the audience, my heart just broke, because here were hundreds of women who were flocking to hear her for words of hope. And one of the women that they had interviewed there was dying of cancer. And she came to hear this woman talk about her inner ding. And afterwards, she said what great encouragement she found from that speaker. And I thought, oh, how lost. At best, those women went away with a false and empty hope. To you and I, that may sound ridiculous, but hundreds of women have fallen for the lie of women like that and other motivational speakers who profess to know the answers. Men have followed those who have gone to authorities and universities and are well educated, who profess to have a system, or who claim and put out an opportunity that if you just follow these steps, you will find your way to success and happiness. But it's empty of God's truth. Ladies, our next door neighbors are dying for lack of the knowledge of the truth. Truth according to God's word. Sometimes it's not just an all-out distortion. Sometimes it's not all completely devoid of God's truth. Sometimes there's just enough truth peppered in with it to make it sound so right. This has been Satan's strategy ever since the beginning of time. We can go back to the garden, and when the serpent deceived Eve, it wasn't blatant propaganda or argument. It wasn't an obvious lie that he was speaking to her. No, there was just a little bit of truth mixed in with it to distort God's truth and to lead her down that road of bondage. Years ago, a book came out entitled The Secret. And many bought that book. And Oprah Winfrey had the author on her program. She had him on several times. And what I found so alarming about that is that he used just enough scripture to cause even those who profess to know God to buy into his lies about enlightenment and prosperity and success. Let's think about this even further. Satan used scripture when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, didn't he? Even in our chapter this week, we saw that the religious leaders came to Jesus with God's word, the law. It's not always as blatant and obvious as we think, but they had taken the word of God and rewrote its meaning, and themselves and others would be caught in the bondage and never really come to the true knowledge of God. Nothing has changed. The lie is just packaged a little differently. Yesterday, I was at Walmart, and I was waiting for a prescription to be picked up, and I was just walking down the aisles, just meandering, just wasting time to get my prescription, and I looked over at, me and my son were in the hygiene section, and I looked over at this bottle of Scope, and they have totally transformed Scope mouthwash. But you know what? It's still the same Scope. It's still the same stuff. They've just got it packaged differently. And I picked up that bottle, and they just make it look so sensuous, so cool. So, you know, it's the way it's shaped, and it's, you would think that it is something new, but it's not. And so it is with the lie of the enemy. It's the same lie. It's the same deception. He just packages it a little differently, maybe a little more sophisticated. This just confirms what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Last June, I was flying back to Arkansas to attend my mother's funeral. And on the airplane, there was someone seated to my right and someone seated to my left. Obviously, I was in the middle. And I was praying during the flight that God would give me an opportunity. Well, when there's someone on both sides of you, ladies, there's opportunity right there. You just get in there and you start the conversation. Well, the lady to my left was a young woman, and I would say she was probably in about her maybe early 20s. And I began to open up a conversation with her and ask her why she was flying into Little Rock. And she told me her reasons why. And then she asked me why I was flying to Arkansas. And I told her that I was attending my mother's funeral. And she proceeded to give me her condolences and her well wishes and her words of sympathy. And then I went in and I just started sharing the gospel with her. And I started sharing with her about the truths that, you know, my mom knew the Lord. And because of that, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live, yet even if he dies. And I knew that my mother had accepted Christ as her Savior. And then, of course, I just sauntered right into the rest of the gospel. And she told me her beliefs. And she said, I want to receive energy from the universe. The universe is my God. And what I want to do is give that energy back to those who are around me. So her God was the universe, and that was her system of belief. And I thought to myself, she is so convinced. She has bought into this. And when I went away, she just looked at me and she said, be well. I said, well, God bless you and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you what the Bible has to say. And I thought, that's the best that man has to offer in their empty philosophies and the deceptions of their belief. Be well. But darkness can be a comfortable place, can it? Even a room that has low lighting keeps us from seeing the truth about things as they really are. Okay, time for true confessions. I'm going to lighten it up here a little bit. Whenever my husband and I travel, I have figured something out about the bathroom lights in the hotel rooms. They're not my friend. You know, you wash your face the night before, you take your makeup off, you put your moisturizer on, and you hop in bed. Okay, you know, it's not a hard thing to do there, and you don't have to really deal with reality too much as long as the lights are turned out. But when I wake up in the morning, and I go back in that bathroom, and I turn on the lights, and I look in the mirror, not so good. And so there have been times where I have just taken my makeup and I've gone over to the other side of the hotel room and I'll put my makeup on in front of the mirror where the light isn't quite so truthful. It really does make my day a whole lot better. But darkness can be a comfortable place. Because the light reveals what darkness conceals. And when the light of Christ shines into the depths of our lives, we see things that we had never seen before. But ladies, here's the upshot, and I love this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Now, do you get excited about that? I do. You know why? Because I realize that the light of Christ has brought me out of darkness, and his light shines through me, and he has given me this incredible calling to share that light of the glory of who he is in the face of Christ. But I want us to listen to that once again. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. As we want to be those vessels that shine the light of Christ, ladies, we also need to be those voices of truth. The word says to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. As I was preparing this, the words of John 1:14 kept coming back. "And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Yes. We cannot have the light apart from the truth. But what about those who profess to know God? What's happening in the church? Let's bring it close to home. How much of pop culture and psychology has affected what we're hearing from the pulpit in our postmodern church? How many of those who profess to be enlightened have affected how we view the Word of God and what we're hearing preached to us week after week after week? Kent Hughes puts it like this: "Nowhere does an insufficient view of sin get more bizarre than in the area of theology. Because when we do away with the depths of the bond of sin upon us, we find ourselves in a theological wonderland. You can turn on your TV and you can watch any religious program. And I would say that about 95% of it is a theological wonderland. It's just a little bit of everything. The world wants to neutralize and minimize their sin in order to find happiness. But unfortunately, in these last days, ladies, we are guilty of much of the same. I really believe that God's people need to take seriously Psalm 1, that we meditate on the Word of God in His laws. We delight in them day and night. I have on my kitchen my Bible. It's opened all the time. This isn't my only one. I have my Bible at home. And I have my reading materials open on my kitchen counter, and I always want to be reminded of the truths of God. It's not just enough for me to wake up and have my devotions and my Bible reading in the morning and my prayer time, because with that said, I realize that throughout the day, the voices of the enemy are always vying and clamoring for my attention. And so I want a reminder of the truths of God ever before me. And on my nightstand, I have a Bible there and reading materials there. I want them at my fingertips, readily available. And especially as I've gotten older, I realize how prone I am to forget things. And so I need as many sticky notes and reminders as possible. I don't know about you. Why? Why so emphatic about the Word of God? Because even the smallest lies can creep in relatively unnoticed. I have a very smart dog, and he's going to be 10 years old next month. And we got him when he was about 6 weeks old, and he has just been a gem. I love him dearly. And because he's getting older, I went to the health food store a few months back, and I got him those tablets, the glucosamine chondroitin tablets that you can buy now for your pet. He's been having a hard time getting up and around, so my heart just went out to him in such compassion, and I thought, well, let me try to help him out a little bit here. And so I put a tablet, just a very small tablet, chewable, in his food, and I buried it underneath the rest of the food. I was camouflaging it so he wouldn't know that something in his daily diet was being changed. You know what? He smelled it. He nosed his way around it. He nudged all those little morsels of dog food. He took that tablet out, walked over to the edge of the lawn, and spit it out. And I'm watching this. Okay? And I'm thinking, oh no, you don't. Okay, we're going to take care of this real quick. So I went back out there and I put it back in his food. Well, needless to say, it took a while for him to finally accept that. But after a while, he did. He just started taking that with the rest of his food. And ladies, I think of how that happens with us. The enemy can take just a small little deviation, something ever so small, from the truths of God and put it into our minds. And if we are not allowing the words of Christ to richly dwell within us and his word abiding in our hearts, before you know it, we're going to gobble it up. And we're going to embrace something that has distorted the truths of God. Let's look at what Jesus said in verses 31 and 32 in this chapter. He says, "And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But prior to that, he said, "If you continue in my word," and the Amplified says, "hold fast to my teaching, live in accordance with them, then you are truly disciples of mine." And then Jesus emphasizes that the place that his word has in our lives is what gives us the freedom that we are so desperately longing for. We must be students of the word, treasuring and storing God's word in our hearts and in our minds. But then Jesus goes even further. He takes the challenge to a whole nother level. He raises the bar and he says, we must obey. We must obey the truth as he sets it out in his word. Oftentimes we get the smorgasbord mentality. I love smorgasbord, by the way, because I'm a girl who likes choices. I don't like to be locked into just, you know, one thing on the menu. My husband, he likes the same thing every time we go to the restaurant. That's just him. You know, he just hones in on that one dish and he absolutely loves it. And it doesn't matter how many times I go to a restaurant, it could be the same restaurant, I still want to look at the menu. I still want to know what my choices are. And I love smorgasbord because, well, there it's all laid out before me and I can kind of pick and choose a little bit from this and pick and choose a little bit from that. And then desserts. Oh, I could just go on and on about desserts. You know, I just happen to have a sweet tooth. But oftentimes we take that approach when it comes to what we want to believe and how we want to apply the Word of God in our lives. There are some things that, yes, I can accept this. And then there are other things, well, not so sure that that applies for me or my situation or my circumstances, or is it really relevant to the culture in which I live? Yes. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We are never more truly free than when we are walking in obedience to God's truth. It is only when we come to the cross of Christ and we confess what he has to say about ourselves, about who he is, recognizing our need for him and the price that he paid on the cross, it is only then that we can be truly free. And I love what this hymn says. Lord, thou hast granted salvation to me. What will thou have me to do? From Satan's bondage, at last I am free. What will thou have me to do? Since I am saved by the crucified one, I would point others to God's only Son. Pardon and granted through him who hath died, I am so happy, thee at my side. Ready and willing thy voice to obey, bid me to follow thee day unto day. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And Jesus said, that is the heart of the disciple of Christ. Any other philosophy, any other belief has not come from God. The problem with the religious leaders and their ancestors before them is that they disobeyed God's truth. It's not that they didn't know them, they disobeyed them. They would multiply their sacrifices to soothe their consciences, but they continued in their rebellion. And when the life and light of men showed up, they were blinded to see him for who he really was. They were truly enslaved, and only Christ could set them free. Ladies, have we recognized that the world is dying to be free? It's seeking so desperately to be released from its bondage. We have the words of life and truth. As we come to a close, the words of John 1:17 keep coming to mind. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized in Jesus Christ. The woman that we looked about in the chapter, the woman drug out in open shame for the sin that she committed and the condemnation that should have been rightly hers, she met with the eyes of grace and truth. She was freed from her sentence of condemnation. How could one so sinful be forgiven by one so sinless? How could one so unholy be forgiven by one so holy? Because Jesus knew that Calvary was just around the corner, and he would bear the burden of her sin and her shame. He did call it sin. No, it wasn't an affair. It wasn't an extramarital relationship. It was sin. And yet, when she came before him, they both were standing in the shadow of the cross and what Christ came to do. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Ladies, the message of the cross sets men free. Anyone who is willing to receive and walk in the truths of God, as God says, is truth. There is grace for those who are condemned, light for those in darkness, life where there is death and liberty by his truth. And in these closing moments, I would like for us to close our Bibles. And I want to ask you, are there any among us this morning who have deviated, maybe even ever so slightly, from the truths of God's word in your life? Have you embraced some of the world's philosophies and beliefs and tried somehow to work them into your walk with God? And then I ask you, have you found yourself in some places and areas of bondage all over again? There's hope. The Apostle Peter said, "Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." If that is you here this morning, then I ask you to repent and return to the Lord and receive again the truths of God's word to your life. Be released from that bondage that you have been enslaved to once again. And remember the words of Jesus: "If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much, God, that your word and the truths of your word is sufficient and completely able to save and to free. Lord, I pray that we would be women, Father, who would not just come to study, but God, that we would walk out of these doors and allow your truths to penetrate and live through every aspect of our lives. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to set us free. Amen and amen.